Live from Torquay, this is Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye on 94.7 The Pulse.
And it is the first Tuesday of March, which means we say a very good morning to Elaine Carbines, the CEO of the G21. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and hopefully one day we'll see you down here in the broadcast position at Cafe Moby in Torquay.
Yes, that's great, our idea. I think it's great that you're going out to the region, and don't forget there are other places in the region as well. So it's about a 10,000 square kilometre region, the G21 region.
That's right, so we'll never run out of places to broadcast.
You will never
from.
Run out of places, and you know what? There are plenty of great cafes as well. So,
that's right, like the one we're sitting in now.
Enjoying yourself there this morning. Well done.
That's right. And, of course, we're just down the road from the Torquay Resort, which is where the stakeholder forum is going to be.
Exactly, on the 19th of August this now, year. So put in your diary.
And just on that point, on the way through to talking about your Canberra delegation, there's now talk about a potential snap election on July the 2nd. What do you think about that? You were sort of banking on them going along.
Well, not necessarily. I think it's great that we're going now to Canberra and not leaving it till too much later. I think there's only, I heard them say, 3 sitting weeks before the budget. So it's very important that our region has a voice in Canberra now. And, of course, it's not the first time we've been, Mitchell. We go every year. So the ministers and shadows won't be hearing anything new today. What they'll be doing is hearing further compelling reasons why they should invest in our region, in our infrastructure projects and our social innovation project, the GROW project, the G21 Region Opportunities for Work, all of which they have been briefed on before. So it's not anything new for them, but it's just making sure that they have counted our projects in their ideas for commitments for the federal election. So we're ready. Bring it on, I reckon. It doesn't worry me if the election is earlier than what we were expecting, because our councils and G21 are ready, and we've been talking about investment in these projects for the last 2 years. So that's fine with us.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the Canberra delegation, that obviously is kicking off. And who is going to Canberra as part of the delegation?
Well, it's quite a large delegation. We're taking a whole board. So that's the mayors and CEOs of each of our 5 councils, the City of Greater Geelong, Borough Queenscliff, Surf Coast Shire, Colac Otway Shire and Golden Plains Shire, plus our independent directors. We have 5 independent directors who will be attending as well. They're people like Barbara Abley, the former mayor of Geelong, Henry Bongers, who is the head of BDH Constructions, a very large construction company located in Colac, Jason Trethowen, the CEO of the Primary Health Network, Bill Niven, the CEO of Give Where You Live, and Bernadette Uzelak, the CEO of the Geelong Chamber of Commerce. So really broad representation of the region, and we need that many to go because we've actually got 16 meetings over 2 days. And so I need plenty of representatives from the G21 board to be able to divvy them up between the meetings. So they all see about 5 or 6 of the ministers or shadows. No one goes to all of the meetings, of course, because they're often consecutive times. So we need to have plenty of representatives so we can cover the breadth of the meetings that we've secured for those 2 days.
Now, one of the big issues up for discussion, of course, is the Geelong CBD revitalisation. What are you pushing for there?
Well, we know that the City of Greater Geelong has worked very hard to work on the Vision 2 project and has a great great plan for the revitalisation of the Geelong CBD, which has already started. It looks a lot better than it did even 2 years ago. But there's a lot more that needs to be done, and some of it involves traffic management, some of it involves the question of where the bus port should be, and, of course, the greening of the city, creating a green spine. That's the vision for the Geelong CBD. And this is a really important project because Geelong is the capital of the G21 region. No matter where you live, in which municipality in the G21 region, you connect in some way with the city of Geelong, and be it for health provision, be it for tertiary education, be it for employment, retail, enjoyment, you come into the city. So we all have a vested interest in making sure that the city of Greater Geelong works properly in terms of traffic flow, but it also looks fantastic. And I think we'd all agree that certainly over the last few years, the city has looked rather tired and unappealing in some quarters, particularly as some of the shops have closed down. I often think that Moorabool Street is, you know, really, for one of our main streets, it's a sad reflection on the city. And so we're looking for investment in the CBD that would have major support from all of our five councils.
And of course, one thing we have seen as part of that greening Geelong and the green spine that we're implementing is the sort of rollout of that in Mallop Street in a very limited and temporary capacity, but that does seem to have been very well received by the public.
Yeah, people really like it. People like the planter boxes, the bright colours, the planter boxes that are also in, I think it's Little Mallop, the work that's been done to improve the mall. I think people are enjoying that, and we're seeing people voting with their feet and coming into those areas that sometimes people used to avoid. So it's certainly off to a great start, but there's a lot more to be done.
The Land 400 project, what's happening there?
Well, this is a very important project for our region. This could provide a major employment opportunity for the people of our region going forward. So this is a defence contract to build the next generation of armoured vehicles that we know the Department of Defence is intending to do over the next few years. And they've opened up for expressions of interest for companies to build the next generation of armoured vehicles, which are, you know, my language, tanks. And there's a strong bid from our region, from a company that's happy to base part of its operations here in Geelong. That's the Elbert Company. So we are, I suppose, going up there to make sure that the Defence Minister, the Assistant Minister for Defence, the Shadow Minister, and we're even meeting with the Secretary of the Department of Defence, understands our region's capability to deliver at least part of this multi-million dollar contract.
That's the point. You only need to get a small slice of the contract or a small slice of the proceeds down here in Geelong, and it makes a big difference.
It certainly does. And knowing that we have very high capability in terms of manufacturing skills in our region, I think we're going to be putting a very compelling case to all the federal representatives over the next 2 days.
Absolutely. Now, the Melbourne-Geelong transport links, I mean, we've seen a lot of problems with V-Line, and they continue to be issues. The clogged roads, though, and that's just been exacerbated by what we've seen with the train network.
Exactly, and I think this is a significant issue for the whole Barwon Southwest region, not just our part of the world. The access, road access to Melbourne is extremely poor, and I suppose you might have, Mitchell, as I have been stuck in what I call the Westgate car park on many occasions when I'm trying to get to Melbourne for a meeting on time. It's very difficult, particularly first thing in the morning. People are having to leave home if they work in the CBD before 6 o'clock in the morning in order to get there on time. And that's just not good enough. It's only 80 k's away. Yeah. And so we, you know, in the past were strong supporters of the East-West Link project, particularly the western section of it. We wanted some action taken. The new government decided not to proceed with that. They have a new proposal called the Western Distributor. It's a very interesting project, but it will need federal government funding in order for it to proceed. So we really want to stress the need to address this issue. You can't wait another 5 or 10 years for a commitment to be made in relation to improving the road access, because it's only going to get worse as the western suburbs grow. When we think about Point Cook and Wyndham and Tarnit and ourselves growing, we are adding more and more and more motorists on that road every day. And so we know that it's bad enough now, it's going to be a lot worse in 5 years' time. So we really want to draw a line in the sand and get a commitment in relation to what is now called the Western Distributor Project.
And of course, there's a bit of noise coming around from a certain side of politics about the amount of money that has been spent to cancel the East-West Link, or the amount of money that was invested in the project but then not used. Is there still an appetite from the federal government to spend even more money in Victoria, even though that's what's already happened?
Well, I think we've seen a change with the change of Prime Minister. I know that Tony Abbott was fairly adamant that Victoria wouldn't receive the funding once it decided not to proceed with the East-West Link. He was adamant that Victoria would not receive the $1.5 billion that he had allocated to the East-West Link once it was no longer a viable project. Malcolm Turnbull seems to have a different view, and he's more, I think, amenable to discussions with the state government, which I think can only benefit all of us here in Victoria, particularly in the southwest like us.
Yeah, dialogue is good, but I think that $1.5 billion or whatever the funding amount is might have already been set aside for the Melbourne Metro Rail Tunnel.
Well, I'm not sure, because I saw the state public transport minister on the TV last night, and she'd been in Canberra lobbying in relation to that but had come away empty-handed. So we want to make sure that that the federal government and the opposition are aware of the Western Distributor Project and the urgent need to address that issue for our region.
Now, a very relevant issue to down here in Torquay, and that is, of course, broadband.
Yes, that's a major issue for us. We know that the broadband capacity of the region is very underdone. I know that we're often told that we're on the list for future improvement in broadband capacity, but it's really not good enough. We've lost a lot of competitive edge when we compare ourselves to other cities. Ballarat has the NBN, and the capability there is enormous. We are struggling in this region. It is an issue that's raised with me all the time by businesses, by residents, and now by schools. Secondary schools in the region are finding that the broadband capacity is so limited that they can only have a limited number of students using the internet at one time, and that's not good enough in these days of the digital economy, e-learning. I think it's outrageous that our school students, our secondary school students in our region, across the region, cannot access the internet when they need it. We've got evidence of primary schools where they can only have 17 students at a time using the computer, and that's just not good enough. We've got the infrastructure, so we've got the computers, laptops and tablets, but we don't have the broadband capacity for students to be able to fully maximise their potential. So we have a project called the Geelong Secondary Schools and Community Digital Hub Project that's backed by Deakin, the Gordon, the Geelong Region Library Corporation, every secondary school in the region, be it public or private, to invest in the broadband capacity, utilising Arnet, which is a company owned by the CSIRO and all the universities in Australia. And for $4.7 million, we could have every secondary school in the region connected to high-speed broadband capacity in a very short time. So we'll be emphasising that very heavily while we're in Canberra.
And Avalon Airport, now that we've seen flights within Australia to three destinations with Jetstar, that's a massive boost to the region, obviously. But is the focus for Canberra now talking about international flights?
Yes, definitely. We know that now that Jetstar has committed for 10 years and increasing the destinations, I think Adelaide and Hobart are starting soon from Avalon. We know that that now really lays the foundation to attract an international carrier, where previously, because Jetstar was under such a cloud and was only flying to Sydney, Avalon's capacity to attract an international carrier was severely compromised and indeed limited. That has changed courtesy of the investment from Jetstar, the Victorian government and Linfox, and we are now wanting to make sure that both the federal government and opposition are ready, willing and able to help fund an international terminal when the Avalon attracts a terminal. And it will help Avalon in its negotiations with international carriers if they're able to put that on the table. Now, we did have a verbal commitment from former Prime Minister Tony Abbott that if they attracted an international carrier, that he would help fund the terminal. So we want to remind Malcolm Turnbull and his ministers, and obviously interest Bill Shorten and the shadow ministers in that. And so we'll be talking very much about Avalon, because Avalon really is pivotal to the future of our region, not just the tourism economy, which is an economy which can grow a lot of wealth for our region, but it's also really important for the export of our produce. And we know that the agribusiness sector in our region is really booming at the moment. People want our fresh, clean produce. They want our milk. They want our milk products. And they want our aquaculture products, such as mussels and oysters. So we're really keen to make sure that we're able to spruik the importance of Avalon to our federal representatives and hopefully inspire them to make some commitment there for the federal election.
And final issue, of course, the G21 Grow project, the Geelong Region Opportunities for Work.
Yes, we're really committed to this project, which will see training and job opportunities for people from our most disadvantaged areas, Corio, Norlane, Whittington and Colac, where we know the unemployment rates are incredibly high compared to the rest of the region. So we're wanting to speak to the federal government about, and the opposition about, investment in the Grow project. We had a fabulous meeting a couple of weeks ago that Sarah Henderson organised for us with Christian Porter, the Minister for Social Services, and he was certainly very interested in our project and what we're doing with Give Where You Live. So we want to remind the federal government and the opposition of an opportunity to invest in some of our most marginalised people in our region, because we know that the most critical intervention to get people out of poverty is having a job. And so we are very keen to make sure the federal government joins Give Where You Live, G21, and hopefully the state government on this journey.
Well, Elaine, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And on the first Tuesday in April, we should be back at our studios in Geelong. So we hope to see you then, and all the best with your Canberra delegation.
Thanks so much, Mitchell. I'll look forward to telling you all about it.
Yes, I can't wait. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye
Thank
now.
You. Elaine Carbine's there, the CEO of the G21. A break. Program technical commentator Trent Geddes joins us next on The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.